Book of Romans, chapter number 4. The book of Romans, chapter number 4. And we're going to read about 5 verses and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Romans, chapter number 4. Let's remember on Wednesday nights we're studying in the book of Mark. No service tonight, but next Sunday night we'll have service. I think I have a missionary schedule for this coming Wednesday night. I think. So come and be surprised one way or the other. But I had a missionary scheduled and bad weather happened and we had to reschedule. I think it's this Wednesday night. This one or the next one. But anyway, if you found your place in the book of Romans chapter 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 5 and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And the Bible said, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Let's pray. Lord, I am thankful to be here today and the many blessings you've given us. And Lord, I pray and I ask that you would speak to us from your word this morning. Lord, the message that you've put on my heart, I pray, God, that it would go out and Lord, it be easy to understand. And more than anything, that the Holy Spirit of God would be able to enlighten our hearts and our minds as to the meaning of the Bible. Lord, as we've read already, what saith the Scripture? What does the Bible say? That's what matters. That's what's important. And so as we look this morning, I pray, Lord, that you would help, that you give liberty. Lord, that you would speak to hearts. Lord, I pray that any person that's here today that's never been saved, that does not have a heart of faith, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to their heart and show them their great need of salvation. Lord, how important it is. Lord, it's the most important thing in the whole wide world. What have we done with the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord, would you help today as only you can? We'll thank you for all that you do. We come asking these things in Jesus' name and amen. Let's go back to verse number 1 and just read that verse. I'll tell you what I'm going to try to preach on or bring out this morning. Verse number 1, the Bible said, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found?" Have you ever noticed how many times in the Bible we find the phrase or something like it, "Abraham our father"? That's what I want to try to preach on this morning, Father Abraham. And of all the people in the Bible, there's probably nobody that is more prominent across the board of all the different people in the world than Abraham is. What I mean by saying that, when you begin to talk about Abraham and study about Abraham, Jews, the Jewish people, they put Abraham on a very high pedestal. Christian people think very highly of Abraham in the Bible. And even our scripture this morning refers to Abraham as being our father. Even Muslims in the world, they give a great place to Abraham. And they would also be a group of people that would regard Abraham as their father. Nobody else in all the Bible is referred to like Abraham is as being our father. You think about that. They can be father and grandfather and all like that. But Abraham, of all the people in the Bible, is the only one that I know of is referred to as Father Abraham. Nobody talks about Father Moses. Nobody talks about Father Daniel. Nobody talks about Father Paul or anything like that. But it's very, very natural to talk about Abraham as Father Abraham. A lot of us, if you grew up in church, you remember singing in Sunday school, we'd sing that little song, "Father Abraham had many sons." Remember singing that growing up, "And I am one of them and so are you, so let's just praise the Lord." So we grew up singing that and having that in our minds. Nobody else in all Scripture is referred to like Abraham is. It says in the last part of verse number 16, or we'll just read verse number 16 here in Romans chapter number 4. Look what the Bible says about Abraham. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. I believe it's seven times in these verses that Abraham is referred to as father. He's referred to as father of Jew and Gentile, and those of the circumcision and the uncircumcision, those under the law, those that are not under the law. It says in verse number 17, as it is written, I have made thee, talking about Abraham, a father of many nations. So there's a lot of people in the world, their nationality, their heritage, their family tree, they would trace back and they would contribute to Abraham. He's referred to as the father of many nations. Now there's all kinds of people of faith in the Bible. They were men of faith and women of faith before Abraham was ever born into the world, but we don't call them father. You think about Adam. Adam believed God. Adam walked with God. You think about Enoch in the Bible. In Genesis chapter number 5, it says that Enoch walked with God. He's a great example of faith. You think about Noah. Noah walked with God. The Bible said that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He's a great example of faith. And there's many that are after Abraham. You think about Isaac. You think about Jacob. You think about Joseph. You think about King David, who's talked about here in Romans chapter number 4, verse number 6, where it says, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. So you have all these people in the Bible that are great people of faith. But I just got to thinking about this. If the Bible says that Abraham is our father, there's got to be something special about him. There's got to be something spectacular about his faith if he is referred among all these other people as being the father of us all. There's bound to be something special about Abraham and his faith. So we're going to look at that this morning, thinking about Father Abraham, the father of us all. It's what the Bible says here in Romans chapter number 4. Now let me point a few things out, probably three or four things. First of all, there he is in verse number 1, and I want to try to explain this passage of Scripture. Because if you just read down through it one time, two times, three times, four times, you might look at it and you might say, what does that mean? What is that talking about? There's the finding of Abraham in verse number 1. The Bible said, what shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. Number 1, there's the finding of Abraham. What does that mean in verse number 1? Now, what it is talking about, it's talking about being justified by faith. Look back in chapter number 3. And we'll get some of the context that'll lead us into chapter number 4. He's talking about being justified by faith. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 28. The Bible says this, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. And so here in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul, he's got the subject under consideration. Are we saved by keeping the law? Are we saved by our good works? Are we saved without the law, or are we saved simply through grace, or are we saved by a combination of the two? And you know, there's a lot out here in the religious world, they are preaching, they are teaching that, well, it's sort of a combination of keeping the law and the grace of God. Well, we got to be a good person. We got to obey the Ten Commandments. And then we got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to do this and we have to do that. Is it a combination of all these things that we can go to heaven when we die? And so the subject is, how is a man justified? And then he comes over to chapter 4 and verse number 1 and says, what shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. What Paul is saying, let's look at Abraham. Let's look at him for an example of how we are saved, how we are justified. We're going to look at the finding of Abraham. What do we learn from Abraham's life? Let's look at this and see. So first of all, verse number 1, there's the finding of Abraham. Number 2, there's the four of Abraham. Look at verse number 2. He said, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. So let's think about this a little bit. What is Paul saying here? Now, Paul, if you know anything about the New Testament, if you know anything about the Apostle Paul, he is a grace preacher. What do I mean by that this morning? Paul believes, Paul teaches in the Bible teaches that we are saved by the grace of God. Plus nothing, minus nothing. We are not saved by the works that you think about when you think about, oh, well, let's be baptized, let's join the church, let's keep the Ten Commandments, and that'll help us go to heaven. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you think about all the good things we could do. You think about all the things the Bible talks about. Of all the things you can do, there's nothing you can do to go to heaven. We are saved purely and simply by the grace of God. But for argument's sake, and that's what we find here in verse number 2. For argument's sake, Paul says, for if Abraham. Sometimes that's how to make a point. You say, well, let's think about it a minute. What if it was this way? And that's all Paul's saying in verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Now, if we were saved by works, Abraham, he could glory in some things. Abraham had some things he could glory in. Abraham had some things he could brag about. Abraham could say, look at me. Look what God's done for me. Look how I obeyed God. Look how I departed out of my country when the Lord told me to. Look at who I am. Look at how highly I'm spoken of. I mean, in the days of the Apostle Paul and the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no one that was spoken of more highly than Abraham was. If Abraham had anything to glory in, he could brag about that. He could brag about his son Isaac. He could brag about how he listened to God, how he walked with God, how he sacrificed to God. He could say, look at my family. Look how obedient I was. You know, a lot of people, that's what they think is going to get them to heaven. They think, look at my obedience. I've been a church member since I was a child. I've been a good person. I've never killed anybody. I was baptized. I don't know how many people I've talked to down through the years. And I've asked them, are you saved? Yes, I was baptized when I was 10 years old. That's a work. Yes, I've given money to the church. I've done this and I've done that. I've read the Bible through. I've taught a class. I've went on a mission trip. I'm a good person. All these things. These are things that we glory in. These are things that people brag about. These are things that we're prideful of. And if we are justified or saved by our works, then we would have something to glory in. Well, look at me. Look at what I've done. If we're saved by works. But look what it says in verse number 2, what Paul said. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. He's got something to really brag about. But not before God. That's the key right there. And so Paul, he's making an argument by saying, well, what if it was this way? Abraham does have something to glory off, but not before God. You see, if you really study about Abraham in his life, Abraham could not glory in his family like the Jews gloried in Abraham. You see, the Jews, they said, oh, Abraham is our father. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, that's our lineage, that's our heritage. But Abraham, he couldn't brag about his family. You know, if you study about the family history of Abraham, you know what you find out about Abraham? Abraham was a heathen idolater. His family, they worshiped idols. They worshiped false gods. Abraham couldn't come along and say, boy, my grandpa, he's a preacher. He might have been a preacher, but he was of false gods. Abraham couldn't come along and say, oh, my daddy and my grandpa, boy, they were high up in the... No, they weren't. They were nothing. They were idolaters. They were heathens. In Joshua chapter number 24, Joshua gathers the children of Israel together and he gives them a history lesson about their history. And in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 1, the Bible said, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and their officers. They presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. That was Abraham's heritage. They served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. Abraham couldn't even brag about Isaac. Because when God came and told Abraham that he would make of him a father of many nations, Abraham was 75 years old. Abraham was childless. Rebekah was childless. They had nothing to glory of. They had nothing to brag about. They were idolaters. They were heathens. They didn't have anything. They didn't have a great family or anything. God came along. And the Bible said, and God gave him Isaac. Abraham couldn't brag about that. Maybe Abraham and Sarah had tried for years and years and years to have children. And they couldn't have children until God came along and gave them Isaac. See, Abraham didn't have anything to brag about. Abraham could not glory before the Lord. Abraham had nothing to offer. Everything good that had ever been done in Abraham's life, it was purely by the grace of God. So what do we find in the four of Abraham here in Romans chapter number 4? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. He couldn't brag about his family. He couldn't brag about his children. He couldn't brag about his great religious heritage because he didn't have anything to glory in. He didn't have anything to brag about. I look on down in verse number 3 and I begin to find this. There's the faith of Abraham. This is what Abraham is known most for, the faith of Abraham. There's something great about his faith. It says in verse number 3, for what saith the Scripture? Boy, I like that. You know, it really doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. What does the Bible say? That's what matters. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, do you know anything about this church? What do you think about this church? What do you think about this pastor? I said, I don't know anything about it. What matters is, are they following the Bible? What saith the Scripture? That's all that matters. And so Paul, he begins by saying, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now when it says, what saith the Scripture, go back to Genesis chapter 12. I want you to keep your place here, and I want you to go back to Genesis chapter number 12, and we're going to find the first place where God talked to Abraham. Genesis chapter number 12, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3. What saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. How was Abraham saved? He was not saved different than we are. He was saved by faith. That's why we find an example of him in Romans chapter number 4. He was saved by faith. Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. God came to Abram, and God said, get out. That's what it says in verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. God came to Abram, he said, get out. And in verse number 4, the Bible said, so Abraham departed. The departing of Abraham was not a work in his life. It was just simply the action of believing God. If you believe God, there's going to be some action in your life. You know, there's a lot of people, they say they've believed on Christ. They say they're saved. They say that if they died, they would go to heaven. But is there any evidence in their life of any departing whatsoever? If we really believe the Lord, and it makes a difference in our heart, there's going to be some departing goes on. God came to Abraham and he said, get out. And Abraham believed God so much that he got out. He departed. If we believe upon the Lord, it's going to manifest itself in our lives. Now, here's what it says in going back to Romans chapter 4. There's some things over there in Romans chapter number 4 that we want to point out again. In verse number 3, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. What happened? Abraham believed, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now that word counted, it's a very interesting word. It means reckoned. It means imputed. It means put to the account of. Abraham believed God, and God put on his account righteousness. Where he was unsaved, where he was unrighteous, when he believed God, God put righteousness on his account. All Abraham did was believed the Lord. It's a banker's term. That word counted unto him. Have you ever went to the bank to make a deposit? And the bank teller, they said, oh, by the way, somebody came in and put $100,000 in your account. Has that ever happened to you? That's never happened to me either. That'd be all right. That'd be all right, wouldn't it? But you see, that is just not how the world works. That is just not how things work, but that is a banker's term. The world does not work that way. Here is how the world works in verse number 4. Now he's leading on. Abraham believed God. God counted it unto him for righteousness. God put righteousness on his account. Here's how the world works in verse number 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. And that's one of them verses you could read and read and read. What's that mean? What does that mean? Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Here's what that means. You work all week long on your job, and maybe you have direct deposit, or maybe you get a check. Now, when you get paid, let's just say you get paid on Friday. When you get paid on Friday, isn't that just the grace of your employer? Boy, isn't that good? They paid me. That's not grace. They owed you. They were indebted to you. They pay you because you've done something worthy of getting paid, and that is how the world works. You work, and your reward, you get paid. That's not by grace. See the great difference there between how the world operates and how God operates? We work, and we get a reward. We are, our employer is indebted to us until they pay us. That pay is your reward. That's how the world works. But that is not how God works. And this is why it's so hard for adult people to understand that you're saved by the grace of God. Because our whole mentality is you work and you get paid. You work and you get paid. You work and you get what you deserve. But in God's economy, that's not how it works. Last thing we'll see this morning is in verse number 5. It's the family of Abraham. He said, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." The family of Abraham. Now to the Jews, Abraham was their ticket. And they continually, that is what they held to. That was their claim to having a relationship with God. John chapter 8, verse number 39, they said this. They said, "Abraham is our father." He was their claim to fame. And he was, physically speaking. He was in the family way of things, physically speaking. But that didn't mean they were saved. That didn't mean that they were going to go to heaven when they died. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 37, he said, "I know that you're Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you." You could be in a direct line of blood relationship to Father Abraham, but if you do not have the word of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, you're not saved. You're not going to heaven. Just because Abraham had faith does not mean that you have faith. To be in the father of Abraham is not to be in the physical lineage of Abraham, but it is to be in his line of faith. You see, the Jewish people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they said, "Abraham is our father," and they trusted in their good works, and they were good in their own eyes. They were godly in their own eyes. They went to the temple. They brought sacrifices. They pretended to keep the Ten Commandments as they saw them. You know, in their eyes, they were good. We're not talking about in our eyes. If we're good enough. You know, there's a lot of people out here in the world, as far as I'm concerned, they're pretty good people. But I'm not the one that decides who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. It's not up to me and it's not up to you. You see, we judge one another from where we are. God judges us from where He is, and where He is holiness. And if you're going to go to heaven, you're going to have to be holy. And if you cannot get holiness in and of your own self, you're going to have to get it from somewhere else. And the only place to get holiness is from God. Abraham believed God, and God counted to him for righteousness. That's how Abraham went to heaven. He had a righteousness which he got from God. If you and I go to heaven, it'll be because we have a righteousness that we obtain from the Lord. He said in verse 5, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness," just like Abraham was. But to him that worketh not. Now, that flies in the face of all we believe and all that we know. Could it be true that you could go to heaven just by believing? According to the Bible, that's what God requires of us. Because all of our goodness, according to Isaiah chapter number 54, is as filthy rags. The only kind of people that God justifies are the ungodly. Did you notice that? Look at verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. You know, before you're saved, what you are, I don't care how nice you are. I don't care how much good you've done for your neighbor. I don't care how faithful you are to go to church or anything else. If you're not saved by the grace of God, you're ungodly. But I've got good news for you. He justifies the ungodly. People say, well, doesn't God save good people? If there was such a thing, they wouldn't need saving. You ever thought about that? Say, what are you saying this morning, preacher? That I'm not good? I'm saying God says you're not good. I'm not good. I'll confess that. But more importantly than that, God says you're not a good person. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, in your fallen condition, you're ungodly, you're unrighteous, you're a sinner. If you die without Christ, you'll die and go to hell. That's what the Bible says. But I've got good news. He justifies the ungodly. The ungodly. The only kind of people... The only kind of people that God saves is ungodly people. Good people don't see their need. Good people say, well, I joined the church. Well, I've been baptized. Well, I've never killed anybody. I try to obey my parents. I try to do this and I try to do that. But he justifies the ungodly. And the Bible puts us all in that category. If you look back in Romans chapter number 3, and we'll read just a few verses over there. What does the Bible say in Romans chapter 3 verse 19? It says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. You know, all the world has an argument. Well, it doesn't matter what God you worship, just it's all the same. Not according to the Bible. God's Word stops every argument. Yeah, but I've been a good person. Yeah, but I've done this and I've done that. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. You know what that means? You can't be saved by keeping the law. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The whole purpose of the law of God is to show us that we're lawbreakers. You broke the law of God before you ever knew what it was. That time you cried when you was a baby and there wasn't nothing wrong with you that you don't even remember, you was lying. Sometimes children cry and something's wrong with them and that needs to be attended to. But sometimes even they don't even realize, but they figured the system out and they say, hey, I can get out of church if I throw a fit. And they'll squall and cry and they'll carry him out. And if you was a little youngin', wouldn't you rather be down there than up here? And they figured that out. It's not all the time, but I'm telling you, we lie from the cradle. We broke God's law because we inherited a sin nature from Adam and Eve. And it is what we are. We're ungodly. And he goes on in Romans chapter number 3. And he said in verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law of the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what that word all means in the Greek? It means everybody. You know what it means in Hebrew? It means everybody. You know what it means in Chinese and Japanese and Portuguese and all the rest? It means everybody. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why you need to be saved. And the only way to be saved is by faith. Because your good works aren't good in the economy of God. Because God gave His very best that we might be saved by the grace of God. Don't think it didn't cost anything. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. How did He get saved, preacher? By believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He died upon the cross. He shed His blood for sinners so that we could be saved. The only kind of people God saves is ungodly. The only ones He justifies are ungodly. Abraham knew that. David knew that. In Romans chapter number 4, and I'm closing with this, verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness, even as David also describeth. David knew what I'm talking about. Abraham knew what I'm talking about. The blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. How'd you get to be righteous? God puts it on your account. When you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. If you're saved by the grace of God, you can say, my sins have been forgiven. How do you know that? Because what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. How do you know you're going to heaven when you die? Because I believed like Abraham. Because I believed like David. Because I believed like Paul. I believe what the Bible says. And God puts righteousness on the account of the ungodly. But you'll have to get to that place first where you see, I'm a sinner. And I need to be saved. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And I'll say,